The following forum for candidates for the Bozeman mayor seat was held at the Bozeman Public Library on Wednesday, October 20th, 2021. We would like to thank Eric Dietrich and the Montana Free Press for providing the recording of this forum.
Hello, everyone. Candidate forum is being hosted by the Bozeman Public Library, the Belgrade Community Library, Bozeman Professional Women, AUW, and the League of Women Voters Bozeman Area. The ballots were mailed out this week and must be returned by mail or in person to the courthouse by Thursday, November 2nd at 8 p.m. Both forums will include three candidates and each will last 45 minutes. My name is Sally Mason and I'm on the board of the League of Women Voters Bozeman Area. Unfortunately, it looks like we are missing one of the candidates, but we're going to begin anyway. The format is as follows. Each candidate will have 2 minutes to introduce himself in this case. After that, each candidate is given 2 minutes to respond to a prepared question that we sent to them. So let's start with an introduction. And who would like to be first?
Thank you, Jerry. Thank you, Sally.
Yep.
Okay, good evening, everybody, and thank you all for this opportunity. I am Brian Lemires, one of your mayor candidates. You may remember seeing me before. In fact, you may remember seeing me twice before. So now, instead of 50 or 52 years in Montana, I've now lived in Montana for all of my 54 years. I've lived in Bozeman for 35 of those years. For 33 years, I've gained a lot of experience firsthand with the small, local, independently owned business here in Bozeman. Last year, I retired from the City of Bozeman's Finance Department after 25 years of service. During that time, I served on a couple of City of Bozeman advisory boards, including the Affordable Housing Board, for over 20 years. I am an MSU graduate, a certified public accountant, and I have a master's degree in business administration. You may remember that last time I was here, I said I was more about the how rather than the what, and that is still the case. I don't really have any major issues that I'm trying to promote. I'm more about the process. So that means greater transparency, accountability, making sure that your voice is heard, that you are truly in charge, and finally, certainly last but not least, greater fiscal responsibility. For example, this upcoming community housing this upcoming community housing tax, I'm confident that we can accomplish all the goals of this proposed tax, and I do support all the goals, but I think we can achieve them without actually adding another tax on your back. So you might remember last time, again, when I warned, watch out for the shell game if you do vote in that Parks and Trails District. Well, what I meant was keep an eye on your general fund money, that $2.3 million in your general fund that was going to be freed up when we move parks out of there. Well, here we are again, just a year and a half later, we're hearing the same story about affordable housing, that we're going to have to move your affordable housing out of the general fund because the general fund's broke again. So what happened to that $2.3 million? So I think City Hall needs to learn to tighten its belt just like you have to in order to make ends meet. And that's the kind of thing that inspired me to run for mayor. And again, so whatever your priorities are will be mine. And along the way, make sure you don't get taken to the cleaners. Thank you.
All right. Terry Cunningham.
Hi, my name's Terry Cunningham. I'm also running for mayor. And I believe that we're all called to make a positive difference in the world. I've chosen to make a positive difference in the world through community service. I've performed a number of volunteer services since I've been here in the 23 years that I've been here. Everything from working with the volunteering at the animal shelter to the food bank. I've been asked to take on leadership positions, volunteer leadership positions in the community, including chairman of Bozeman Health that ended in 2014, leading fundraising efforts for a new emergency room, a new ICU, etc. And I also headed up organizations that placed 6 recreational climbing boulders in Bozeman City Parks. And I'm the executive director, in addition to being a small business owner, of Run Dog Run, which has built dog parks, off-leash dog parks, in the city. In 2017, I was asked by Carson Taylor to consider running for the commission. And I believe in the 4 years since then, I've accumulated a track record that I'm proud of. Whether it's affordable housing, sustainability, fiscal responsibility, equal pay, that you look at Terry for Bozeman.com, and I think you can see the product of 4 years well spent. My platform is community collaboration and making sure that all of our area institutions are coordinating their efforts. We are all working on the same issues: affordable housing, staff recruitment, climate change, etc. But we're all doing them in our own silos. Only by collaborating can we get the best and brightest, all of our resources pooled, and we can tackle these issues in a holistic, meaningful way. And I believe that I am uniquely qualified to be able to lead that effort to bring these partners together because I have a great relationship with the county, etc. And so I'm Terry Cunningham. I'm running for mayor.
Okay. And Chris is now with us. Chris Brizolara. You have 2 minutes to introduce yourself.
Perfect. Yes. Hello. Sorry for the rush. I was just coming from an exam from MSU. Didn't do that great. Went from 5 to 7 p.m. Had to leave a little bit early. Literally ran to my car, got here. But yes, hello, Bozeman. I'm Christopher Brizolara. I'm a master's student in architecture at MSU. If you know anything about my campaign, I hope it's that I'm trying to sell 3,300 half-acre lots for $50,000 each to the individual, and I want to give people the opportunity to build their own American dream here in Bozeman. First, I wanted to say check out all my proposals on my website, bozemanbybozeman.wordpress.com. It's a .wordpress.com because I do not take any money from anyone, nor will I ever, and it's a completely free website. On my website, I also include proposals like bringing a medical school to Bozeman. There's over 4 law schools in Montana, not 1 medical school. That's embarrassing. Also, making our own gasoline and diesel from our own CO2 pollution via Carbon Engineering, an amazing Canadian firm that I want to attract to the city, and I guarantee you they will headquarter in Bozeman if I'm elected mayor. I also want to raise the minimum wage to $22 an hour. Terry talks about fair pay, but yet hasn't done anything in terms of dollars per hour increasing. Also, for longtime homeowners and longtime residents, I want to readjust their income taxes and property taxes to their original rates and just adjust them to inflation. It's disgusting that taxes are forcing people to sell or to leave the city. I also want to ban Airbnb from the city. I also want to increase tenant rights, expand the HRDC dramatically. I also want to create Bozeman Central Park, plus a pedestrian and bike path loop above I-90, North 19th, North 7th, and the span between North 19th and 7th, that Oak Street span. I also want to redesign all those traffic lights north of Oak Street and get rid of all of them. What else do I want to do? Oh, this is all going to be modeled also as well as the amazing town of Lucca, Italy. They have an amazing bike path. I'm running out of time, but in summary, I want to build Bozeman by Bozeman. I'm the most creative, energetic, passionate, innovative, youngest, and most progressive mayor candidate, and I still got endorsed by the Gallatin Valley Republican woman. And I got that for one reason. I'm not left and I'm not right. I'm moving the valley forward, Bozeman. I have $2 billion of proposals, and I'm fighting for the everyday Mountainian. Thank you very much.
I'm gonna be real tight about the time, everybody.
Yes, ma'am.
The candidates were asked, all 3 candidates were asked to prepare the following question, and they'll each have 2 minutes to present what they thought. If you received a $1 million grant to use for the city any way you wanted, what would you do with it and why? Who would like to be first?
I can go again first.
Okay.
Okay, Habitat for Humanity is what I would do with the money. I would use this $1 million to buy as many vacant lots in Bozeman as possible and pay the impact fees and all the other development fees on each lot so that Habitat for Humanity could then build as many affordable homes as possible for Bozeman. I recently found out that vacant lots, if you can find one, are averaging around $150,000 each. So with the development fees, we're probably talking about maybe 6 homes. But I believe the impact of this effort would go far beyond those 6 homes. It would show the people of Bozeman what Habitat for Humanity can do to help address our affordable housing shortage. For those of you who may not be familiar with them, Habitat for Humanity requires each homeowner to commit at least 500 hours of sweat equity or work time towards the construction of their own home. The head of the household who will be living there is responsible for 250 of those hours, and then the other 250 hours can be done by friends and family. This sweat equity concept helps families gain a sense of ownership in their home, which in turn will make them great neighbors here in Bozeman. We hear a lot about HRDC, and HRDC is great, but this would be a chance for us to learn about another fine organization that is dedicated to the creation of affordable housing. When I was on the city's affordable housing board for 20 years, I had the pleasure of working alongside David Magistrelli, who is the managing director of Habitat for Humanity. And David is a stand-up guy, honest, a straight shooter, as fine a gentleman as you'll ever meet. And he always said that the cost of land was the biggest barrier preventing Habitat from helping with Bozeman's housing problem. So I'd use my $1 million grant to let David show you what Habitat for Humanity could do for Bozeman. Thank you.
Okay. Who would like to be next? Okay.
Sure. With that $1 million, I, like Brian, would also like to invest in affordable housing. However, I have a completely different approach. He just wants to give it to a great organization, of course. However, I want the city to create a revolving loan fund where we are able to loan out money towards individuals and then collect money on the interest and income from those payments. It was very successful, proven by the mayor of Denver, which is what he did this off of. And what I really want to do is buy a property, perhaps the big plot of land right behind Walmart, for example, chop it up into as many small lots as I can, sell them to the individual homeowner, no spec home builders, no developers, just the individual persons can buy this. And it would be about $50,000, probably a little bit cheaper, per person, depending on the amount of units. That would, let's just say there's 100 units in that lot. That's $500,000, right? I'm sorry, that's $5 million right there. So I just made five times the amount of money. Then with that $5 million, I would loan it back out to those people for the construction loans to build their homes with. And then off that money, once they pay it back, I'll give it and expand more and more. I came up with 46 proposals, and they're all on my website, so check them out. And that's exactly what I would do. Thank you very much.
Okay. Gary?
I, too, believe that $1 million can make a difference in affordable housing, but I believe that you need to dream big and involve community partners. I would take that $1 million, and it would be a challenge grant, and I would approach the One Valley Community Foundation, the MSU Foundation, the city and the county with their ARPA funds and community housing funds, area philanthropies, and a consortium of bankers that's being formed, and create a $7 million fund. But you need land. Montana Constitution allows state properties to donate land as long as it's used for affordable housing. And I have my eye on two particular pieces of land. The school district owns the Bus Barn, a 12-acre parcel near Valley Center. MSU owns a great deal of land, including 30 acres south of Rosehours, right where the city wants to put through Fowler. Both of these can be donated. What do we do with $7 million and free land? We do an RFP to the development community, and we say to each of these two projects, we will give you the land, we will give you $3.5 million, and here's what we want in return: a combination of starter homes, cottage homes, condos, etc., priced at 100% AMI. That's for faculty and staff at MSU and students. And we want the same for teachers and staff on the Bus Barn property. We also want multifamily homes targeted at 60% or lower AMI, and we want them to be guaranteed over 30 years, just like low-income housing tax credit. This one is on a opportunity zone. The city will use its capital improvement plans to help punch through Fowler. And this is how we create a real change in the community through collaboration. Just like I was talking about, I can actually make this happen, and you can, by voting for the community mill levy, which will give us that $1 million.
Time. Okay, now quick questions. Have you seen a bear this month?
I was up at Highlight, and on two different occasions, a hiker said to me, "You just missed a bear, and it's a small bear." And I was wondering, was it the same bear, or just a gaggle of bears?
And no. Okay. Yeah. How about you?
Haven't seen it in person. I've seen the damage that they've been doing in our neighborhood, tipping over the garbage cans. My better half was nice enough this morning, even though she was rushing to work, she stopped and helped an elderly lady pick up the trash that had been strewn all over the street.
And you, Chris, have you seen a bear?
No, I'm too busy at MSU to do anything.
All right. And what's your favorite comfort food?
Steak.
And yours?
Vanilla ice cream.
And yours?
Oh, it'd have to be probably chocolate sundae, yeah.
Okay. So we have two ice cream freaks in the crowd.
We do.
Okay. Now we have questions that were sent in to Beth Boysen of the library earlier. And so are we getting questions in on the chat? Okay. Let me know when we do, okay? Here's the first one. Well, Challenging times bring out the best and worst in leaders and community. How do you lead and help our community during the COVID-19 pandemic?
Well, I haven't volunteered to go first, but I will.
Get 90 seconds.
A lot of ways. I created a program called Mask Up Gallatin that was funded by the state, by Bozeman Health, by the county, and the Chamber of Commerce. We gave game cards to those who were seen wearing face masks for a chance to win lift tickets and things like that. I created that out of thin air. I created a partnership between Bozeman Health and Sims Fishing. Sims was not producing anything. Bozeman Health needed medical gowns, and we brought the workers back so they could make medical gowns. I also helped record and air through philanthropic donation the first public service announcement about what to do about COVID when it first hit, and I supported a vaccine program where we actually incentivize people to get vaccines and reward the people who did it in the past.
Thank you.
I'm leading by example, I think, is always the best way to lead. So, yeah, just make sure that you're, you know, doing all the right things, wearing a mask, you know, washing hands, fist bumps instead of handshakes, helping with the staffing shortages. I think we're really what we're talking about in terms of recovery here is a lot of people have refocused what their work life is going to mean for them going forward. So being more understanding when hiring people that, hey, you know, we understand that you're kind of confused about what, you know, just being more tolerant and more patient. We get a lot of applications where, like everybody else, where people don't, you know, you wonder if they're doing it just to get the unemployment because you can't get a hold of them after they apply, or when they do say they're going to show up, they don't show up. So just trying to understand that the pandemic has done has really tipped a lot of people's worlds upside down. So just being sympathetic and empathetic, just being positive, just trying to be a good role model, I guess.
Chris?
Yeah, you know, I really like Brian Lemire's. I've met him through this campaign, and I agree almost with everything he said. I would lead by example, encourage people to be safe. I'm proudly vaccinated. Nothing happened to me. I actually also had the disease in December, was diagnosed, you know, tested positive for it. So, you know, it's a real horrible thing, and we have to take it serious. At MSU, we have to wear masks everywhere. Everyone just accepts it. And honestly, it hasn't even been an issue this semester, which has been so amazing because being back in class is such an amazing experience rather than staring at a computer screen. What I also want to talk about COVID is about money. So many people got so poor this year, including myself. Everyone got hit so hard. They got displaced from housing. Some people, you know, a couple months without pay. Everyone was scared. I totally understand it. And what I want to do, especially for small businesses, is delay all taxes for 5 years. Any new business that comes to the Bozeman, I want to delay all taxes as well for 5 years. And I want to let residents have a 2-year grace period to get back on track with their taxes. Because, you know, the last thing they need to do is have the IRS breathing down their neck in such a horrible year like we've had. Thank you.
Okay. Another question. What question do you ask yourself to guide you in making a decision on any issue before the City Commission?
Sure. You know, that question reminds me of an experience I had on the Northern Cheyenne Reservation. I've been coming to Bozeman working as a carpenter since 2016. Part of that experience was working with a summer camp, and I would be sent to very poor, disadvantaged communities and help construction and help teach teenagers as well construction skills. While I was there, I met an amazing professor at the university, and he told me, you know, the problem with white people is they always think with their head and never with their heart, and that's always stuck with me. And, you know, I always think about that, and I always think what's best for the average Montanan, and that's how I want to govern. I also want to get as much feedback as possible. I love democracy. I'm an extremely proud American, and I believe in our country's values.
Okay. Was that question singular? What question do we ask ourselves, or is it questions?
Could be questions.
Could be questions?
Okay.
Well, I think, you know, the world would be a better place if we all listened to our conscience more, that little inner voice inside. I think a lot of times it's what you can get over on the other person and whether or not they buy it or not. But what it comes down to is Is this a decision or a statement that you yourself are going to be proud of, only to you yourself later on down the line when you look back? So to me, that's really what it's all about. How I feel about it. Is this something that I can be proud of? Something I can look somebody else in the eye and explain why I made the decision that I did? If my grandfather was here today, would I be able to, hey Grandpa, this is what I did and this is why I did it? And hopefully he'd say, I'm proud of you.
Yeah, first and foremost, is it fair? And is it fair to everyone? Oftentimes in the commission room, we are surrounded, and the people who come there are powerful people with connections. Who's not in the room are the people who are too busy to make it, who have, or single parents, who have work obligations because they're working two or three jobs. Who is it fair to everyone? But as a commissioner, it also is. We have a strategic plan, we have a climate plan, we have a community housing action plan, and we've generated these plans through feedback with the community. So part of the question is, and part of the analysis that we actually do, is this consistent with our strategic plan? Is this consistent with our growth plan? Is it consistent with our community housing action plan? Is it consistent with our climate plan? Because those plans have been fully vetted by the citizens. We've all had a chance to get our input into them, and we've agreed that that's the measuring stick that we're going to use to evaluate proposals. So we owe it to the citizens to honor the documents and the promises that we made to them, because otherwise it's all based on, you know, personal differences. We've created these community documents. We've created this this body of knowledge, and we should live by it. But I'm a red-letter Bible reader, and that guides me as well. And there's elements of fairness embedded in that as well.
Okay. Do you think our Main Street downtown is healthy and successful? If not, what would you do to change that?
I can take a swing because you all have been gracious enough to start. Clearly, our downtown is successful. We have very little vacancy there as well, but I'm seeing a trend that is, to me personally, disturbing. I think that a lot of our businesses are tourist-oriented. A lot of them are upscale art galleries and restaurants, and what I'm worried is that we're moving away from the neighborhood as a provider of necessities for your everyday life. So thank goodness that our hardware store is still there. But we are losing some of those things where downtown residents can come bike to and get their everyday needs met. I think once we become a tourist downtown rather than a resident downtown, we've got some problems. The community has invested heavily in downtown, and I think we should all receive a return on it, not just it being a tourist mecca.
I would agree with Terry that it needs to retain a flavor that's going to be local, but yet we do need to be aware of the tourists. I shuttle people to and from the airport, and I deal with motel customers fairly regularly, and they're really, I'm proud to tell them about our downtown. They love that it's, you know, walkable, all these different shops, but yeah, a lot of them are expensive. They're specialty type stores, you know, it's sad to see a place like Cactus Records no longer be able to afford the rent to be able to stay there. So, yeah, I would echo Terry with Ace Hardware and Vargo's, and Cards and Music there, and Cactus Records, and all those different kinds of that different local flavor that we could retain down there. I think we should, as a city, we should somehow find a way to incentivize. In the economic development plan, we talk about economic gardening, which means we sort of are going to play favorites when it comes to our local businesses. And I'd really like to see us do whatever we can to hang on to the downtown before it, I don't think Cactus, it feels like it's slipping away a little bit with the exit of Cactus. So I think we got to nip that in the bud, no pun intended, with last night's discussion about putting marijuana shops downtown. But anyway, that'd be my answer.
Chris? Is downtown healthy, was the question? Yes, of course, downtown's healthy. There's so many jobs. Every business has a for hiring sign, it seems like. At night, you know, I go out with friends at night. I've never felt more safe in a city. I feel like really there's no threat towards my safety physically. I never feel like, you know, anything like that. So, yes, that is successful. And, yes, there are a lot of businesses, which is great. However, it needs a huge resurgence of affordable housing in downtown. And I came up with 11 parking garages that people make fun of me. Oh, a parking garage, right? I want to do 11 downtown. And on top of, they'd all be underground, 2 to 3, 4 stories underground. And then they have 4 above ground floors of condos. That would be about, supply about over 1,800 condos. And I would do them. I'd have the condos be finished in the half a home style, which is made famous by the architectural company Elemental. And Elemental just finishes their exterior of their buildings and leave their interiors of their units completely vacant. So it's really cheap to sell these lots. So then the homeowner can just finish their interiors, and that way the developer doesn't have to buy the kitchen, the bay, all that stuff. And so with that, I would probably be able to sell about 1,900 condo units to individuals, and that would be about $150,000 each per unit, and that's what I would do to make it even more healthy. Thank you.
If you could change one thing in our zoning code, what would it be and why?
Sure, I would abolish the zoning department completely. It's not needed. We need to allow people to grow. We're closer to 2050 than to 1990. We're exploding. We have so much opportunity. We are surrounded by so much land, and it's so sad when you drive from here to Livingston. You see all this opportunity, and then you drive in the middle, in the morning to Walmart's parking lot and see over 20 people sleeping in their cars. Go by Target, just north of the post office, there's that street, an empty little development. All those people living in their trailers. It's disgusting. We can help these people.
Okay. I know regarding last night's commission meeting, there was a great explanation given for why things are the way that they are. But I would like to make it so that the site plan does have to be presented before there's a zoning change. I mean, last night there was a zoning change requested from R3 lower density, not low density, but I mean to a higher density R4, but the developer hadn't told the landowner yet exactly what they were planning to do there. The speculation by the neighbors is that there's going to be high density, maybe multi-condo, multi-apartment type of building there. And they were saying, hey, we all bought in here with our expectation that it was going to be R3. We feel zoning is a promise and it's not adaptable. So don't worry. Now we don't even know what's going to happen there. And we keep hearing that time and time again. Oh, don't worry. This is just a phase. This is just a necessary step in the process. You'll have ample time to go ahead and comment on when the actual site plan comes forward and you see what's actually going to be there. So I would like to see the developer required to put the site plan right at when they make the zoning change request.
Yeah, so my recommendation would be to totally redo the accessory dwelling unit code. Accessory dwelling units are essentially additions to a home, sometimes above a garage, sometimes an extra room, sometimes an extra building. But it allows folks who are landowners to be able to supplement their income and often stay in their home by having a rental unit. We had the Montana State University Architectural Department come and work with individual homeowners who volunteered and said, here, if I could build an ADU, an accessory dwelling unit, here's I'd be a good candidate for that. And the students came in and they did renderings and everything like that, but the general feeling was your regulations are so onerous when it comes to size, a 600 square foot maximum. Off-street parking, alley entrance, that it's so onerous that it really there's very few that can actually do it and do it well without getting a special variance. So Because there's so much R1, there's so many single-family homes, that this gentle density of adding an accessory dwelling unit really could make a big leap forward in terms of being able to accommodate MSU students and retirees and relatives, et cetera. So redoing the ADU or accessory dwelling unit codes would be beneficial, I think.
Okay. Do you feel there is waste in the city budget? If so, please cite specific areas where you would reduce funding.
Okay.
Yes, there's a tremendous amount of waste, especially when it comes to consultants. It seems like every single decision requires $140,000, $150,000 to a consultant. Take, for example, how they hired an out-of-state Colorado firm to rewrite the code, which for affordable housing, in order for it to be way easier. And hey, listen, I'm totally for that, of course. $140,000, though, how long is that code? Why are we paying these guys this much money? Another big project that got passed this early June was $75,000 additional dollars to the $50,000 that this firm got for parking fee due diligence, despite having $50,000 on that budget of legal fees. So they just hide all these little things. It's a death by a thousand paper cuts when it comes to out-of-state and just regular consultants. They're a complete waste. In order to rewrite the code, we just couldn't hire a bunch of local guys, give them $1,000 for the day or two, or however long it has to take, and just have a round table and really talk to the developers and builders that have actually building in this community, rather than hiring a Colorado firm and giving them $140,000. That's insane to me. Thank you.
Well, I know I've been a little critical of City Hall, and I've talked about fiscal responsibility, and Now, waste per se, I don't know that I can really, you know, point to something and say that this is wasteful. I would agree with Chris to some extent. Some of those consult, you know, a lot of consultants are former government employees.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's an interesting... anyway.
Preach.
But to clarify some of the comments that I have been quoted on in the press... I wouldn't call it waste, but I think when everything's a priority, then nothing's a priority. So when I'm suggesting making cuts instead of threatening to perhaps cut our public safety, I'm saying, hey, I can point to some other things that, while I wouldn't call them waste per se, they should be removed before higher level priorities should be removed. So I think when it comes down to crunch time and we need to make some hard decisions, I think we can't let everything be a priority, because then again, everything, you know, nothing's a priority. So I think we could do a better job of prioritizing, and that would be my answer.
In the area of consultants, I do worry that the knee-jerk reaction is to move to consultants right away, as opposed to seeing if we have the expertise in-house and then allowing that expertise the time and the space to flourish. We have talented people in the city, and they're burned out. They are pushed to the limit, et cetera. So I think the natural knee-jerk reaction is we're full up, we need to hire outside talent. And there are times when I think that's valuable. So when you're hiring a consultant like Clarion out of Colorado, and they, through their recommendations, because they have seen other cities deal with affordable housing, they've seen more codes than probably anyone in our staff, they can find out pretty quickly where, for instance, you are not incentivizing affordable housing. And just their recommendations can solve problems that are million-dollar problems. Does that happen every time? No. I think there's also opportunities for us, for instance, in grant writing. Rather than having that done in-house and teaching someone how to do that in-house, there are firms that specialize in that, and you're not going to have to pay for personnel costs, for benefits, and you're not going to have to worry in a downturn about who you let go. That we should be looking towards outside services to replace some of the functions time's up. Thanks.
Do we have time for one more question or not? No more time. Okay. So each of you gets 2 minutes to make your last pitch.
Oh, we were going till 8.
No.
Okay. Should I go first now on this?
There's some symmetry.
So
it's a bookend, yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you. Thank you for this evening. And again, I'm Brian Lemires, and I'm not here because I want to be a politician. I'm here because I think our city government can be better, and that's really what I'm all about, better government. I want the government in the town where I live to be the best that it can be. Better government to me means doing a better job of listening to you, doing a better job of managing your tax money, working hard to keep your costs down so that nobody else gets taxed out of Bozeman. It means keeping you safe by making sure that your police department remains fully funded. And all of the issues that are important to you are important to me. And there's nothing more important to me than democracy and the will of the people. And I will tackle your issues head on. But in doing that, I also promise to stand up on your behalf and to question the answers, which means I will not be a rubber stamp for City Hall. I will add efficiency, transparency, and common sense to the process. I will make sure that your voice is heard. I will make sure that you get the best bang for the buck. And I will make sure that you are in the driver's seat as we grow and move forward. You can read more about me on my website, lemires.com, or feel free to give me a call. So thank you. I will listen to you, and I will put you back in charge. And please don't forget to vote. Thank you.
Who's next?
Thanks. When you decide to campaign, there's different ways of doing it. What I've elected to do is to ask the community for support. And they have supported me in a lot of different ways. They have helped me knock on doors. They've written letters to the editor. They have helped me financially. Most of those people that I worked with in nonprofit capacities, etc. And I've been supported just by knocking on doors and asking people their opinions and asking for their support. And I think that's the way you campaign. There's other ways of campaigning. So when I look behind me, I see hundreds of supporters who have helped me along the way, and I'm so grateful for them. And I think that's how you campaign. You don't buy a campaign, and you listen to the people who support you, and you ask for their support. You look behind you, and if there's no followers, you're not a leader. And I'm really grateful for the followers and the people who are supporting me. It's been a great, great journey. And I'm very blessed to receive the level of support and the level of trust that the community is giving me. And again, please vote.
Okay.
Bozeman, how ironic how you can't buy a campaign, was the quote, when you're spending over $23,000 on the campaign, which Terry is doing, on potato floats and house signs, right? It's ridiculous. I've taken $0 from anyone, never will. I am for the people. I am so sick and tired of the establishment politics of nothing getting done, and then getting one project done, and then point to that project and say, oh, no, we did it. We care. We got that thing done. Give me a break. I'm just so fed up, and that's why I ran for mayor, because I was so disappointed in my representation. So if you want the establishment pick, please vote for Terry. Then you got two other candidates, me and Brian. Brian's a really nice person. I like him a lot. He's always smiling, always laughing. He's a great guy. Unfortunately, Brian's lost already twice in this election. What's the definition of insanity? Trying the same thing over and over again, not changing anything? What's the definition of insanity? Trying the same thing. What's the definition? You see what I'm saying, Bozeman? Please realize that you have me as an option. And what I'm running on is absolute local democracy. I'm running on 46 affordable housing projects. I want to do huge road infrastructure upgrades. I want to do 11 city-owned parking garages that become condo units above them. I want to upgrade our homeless shelter. I want higher police, fire, and nurse wages, $100,000. I want $22 minimum wage for everyone. I'm pro-union. I want all the ski resort employees of Montana to unite and join the Big Sky Ski Patrollers Union and demand $25 an hour minimum wage and insurance during employment, as well as holiday bonus pay this season. And John Lennon, one of my inspirational heroes, said, all we are saying is give peace a chance. All I'm saying is give people land. Another one of my heroes is Teddy Roosevelt. And I think about, who would Teddy Roosevelt vote for right now? Would he vote for the establishment pick? Absolutely not. Would he vote for the guy that's already lost twice? Or would he vote for the new young hotshot that's running on his own whole platform, just like the Bull Moose campaign? And that was such a huge inspiration to my whole idea. Thank you very much, Bozeman. I tried.
And that concludes this evening's forum. Thanks.